Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated this morning, this afternoon. Sorry. Amen. I just thank the Lord for my salvation. I just thank Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky for the opportunity to be able to share today. And I just thank God for everything that He's done. I'm just one grateful person for what God has done in my life. And you know what I just want to talk about this morning is simple. Are you responding to the vision? Are you responding to the vision? I want us to turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 8, and I just want to read a couple of verses from verse 32. The word of God says, "Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway." And verse 35 says, "For those who find me, find life and receive favor from the Lord." I'll read verse 35 again. It says, "For those who find me, find life and receive favor from the Lord." What I want to be talking about this morning is, are you responding to the vision of God for your life? God has given us a vision. God has shown us, and He's leading us and He's guiding us. But to listen means, you know what, that we need to respond. See, God will show us what He wants us to do. God will lead us. But first of all, we need to respond. You have to respond to the call of God for your life. You have to respond when God shows you something, when God reveals something to you, when God shows you the path or shows you the ministry or shows you where He wants you to fit in the piece of the puzzle, in the big picture. But it takes us as believers to respond. When you respond, it means you step out. And when you step out, He will always step in. See, but first of all, we need to respond. But in today's society, many people listen, but they do not respond. Many people listen to what God is saying, what the word of God is saying, but they do not respond. They do not respond, but sometimes it's out of fear. Sometimes it's fear of, you know what, that if I step out and I've heard wrong in it, I maybe get it wrong, or I maybe make a mistake, or I maybe mess up. But when God asks you to do something, He's just looking for a response. He's looking for, "Yes, Lord, here I am, use me." See, there is many people that God has called, and because of fear and other stuff, they have not responded, they have not stepped out. But God gives us a vision. He gives His children a vision. He shows us how to live a godly life. He doesn't just show us how to live a godly life, but He empowers us for that godly life. He empowers us and He equips us, because God wants us to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. When you respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, He will always take you on the right path. It will never ever be the easy path. Because that's the problem sometimes. We want the easy path. But when the Holy Spirit leads you, He's leading you because you need to be led that way, that you need to depend on Him. When He calls you, it's a dependency on Him, knowing that, you know what, I ain't got the goods. I ain't maybe no ready for it. But if you've said, "Go, God," I will go. If you've said, "Step out," I will step out. If you've said, "Challenge me," then I will stand up to the challenge. See, God wants to give you a vision for your life. You're in a vehicle and you're in a journey. And the journey that you're in is a good journey. See, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your children. And God has a plan for your children's children. But first of all, we have our part to play. We need to respond to what God wants us to do. When God leads, we must follow. When God calls, we must answer. But sometimes when God calls, our phones are engaged. Sometimes when God calls, He gets the answer machine. But when God calls, He wants us to respond. He wants us to answer. And He wants us to be willing to do whatever God wants to do. Imagine if Noah had said no. Imagine if Jesus had said no. Imagine if Paul had have said, "You know what, I'm just going to remain and stay Saul. I'm just going to keep being Saul. I don't want to change. I don't want to make a difference." But God took a hold of him on that road to Damascus, and he changed his life. And when God changed his life, he changed the nations. And see, when God changed your life, and when you respond to the call of God, then God's going to use you not just to change the community, not just to change the city, but to change the nations. Because it's going to take people rising up and responding to the voice of God. In 1967, Pastor Sonny Arganzoni responded to the call of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that he responded to the call of God, because he responded. We are here today in Manchester. There is churches all over the world. I think there's 700 plus, because one man responded and was brave enough and was crazy enough and was dangerous enough to take God at his word and run with a vision for his life. See, God has brought you here because you've got a part to play in this place. God has got you, he's brought you here. If you look around, God is bringing expertise into the church. Why is God bringing expertise into the church? Because there's going to be revival that's going to start within this church. And God is bringing the right people at the right time who have made the right response, and they're in the right place. Tell your neighbor you're in the right place. Tell the person next to you, so are you. See, God is looking for men and women who'll just say yes. God is looking for men and women that will just say yes. Men and women who are radical enough just to say yes. Men and women who will go above and beyond the call of duty. Men and women that will put in the extra mile. Men and women that will put their hand to the plow. Men and women that won't give up when it gets hard. Men and women that won't give up when it gets tough. Men and women... I was speaking to somebody the other day there, and I said, I was just come back from prayer storm. I was there, I had a couple of the kids with me. I was at prayer storm for an hour, and I seen this brother, and I said, you know what prayer storm? And he said, nah, it's heavy rain. And I looked at the brother and I said, but you used to go and walk in the heavy rain to score drugs. You used to go and walk in the heavy rain to do this. But all of a sudden there's a bit of rain and you don't want to walk out because you maybe get wet. But let me tell you, God is looking for someone to respond. God is looking for someone to rise up, stand up and take their place. God is looking for a man and woman that says, Lord, here I am. It doesn't matter what you want me to do. It doesn't matter where you want me to go, because it's better than where I was. It's better than the place you picked me up and you turned me around. It was better in the place when I cried out, when I was sick, when I was messed up, when I cried out and God came and changed their lives. See, we've got to respond. Men and women who are willing to run with the baton. Run with the baton that God has given you. Because we're all called to God. We've all been given gifts and we've all been given talents. But God wants you to use them for the honor and the glory of the kingdom of God. God wants them to be unreleased. God wants you to walk in the anointing and walk in the authority that he has placed upon your life. See, you're here today. You're anointed. I'll say that again. You're anointed. But you need to believe that you're anointed. You need to believe that you're called by God. You know what? Men and women who are willing to get out of their car and into the vehicle that God has called them to get into. Because sometimes we can get caught up in our own little world. We can get caught up in our own little time. We can get caught up in doing our own little thing in our own little life, and everything seems good. But God isn't looking for that. God is looking for you to get out the car of self and get into the car of sacrifice. Get into the car of the Father, where he'll lead you, where he'll guide you, where he'll direct you, and he'll take you to the desolate cities of the world. He'll take you to the souls. He'll take you to the places where you can be effective. Because God has placed such a calling, God, upon your life. He has placed such gifts and talents that it's going to be used. But you need to be willing, and you need to be willing, and you need to be available for God. You need to be available for God. How many people are available for God? Available for God. I love when Pastor Paul says there's no point putting the shower on and standing in the kitchen and expect to get wet. You're not going to get wet. Unless you've got a flood or a leak. But you're only going to get wet when you stand in the place where God has called you. When you jump in the vehicle that he has assigned you to. When you walk in the gifts and the authority and the talents that he has given you. See, it's going to take graft, it's going to take sacrifice, it's going to take going above and beyond the call of duty. Last week I had the privilege with Brian and Vicky McQuarrie in running the Manchester 10K. What a blessing! What a blessing! Seriously, the only time I ran before was after the old Bill. Sorry, the police. It's the only time I ran before, but God gave me a vision. See, God gave me a vision and I had to respond to that vision. God showed me what to do. He says, for his honor and glory, I want you to do it. And you know what? We had to put the work in. It wasn't easy getting up some mornings, 4:30, running in the heavy rain. I didn't understand that. I didn't even want to do it. But God had given me a vision. God had given me something. He had assigned a task to me to do. And I had a choice to respond to it or leave it alone. And I thank God that we responded. And the three of us finished the race like bosses. Why? Because God's vision. He will give you strength in the vision. He will give you the ability in the vision. You just need to step out and allow him to work through your life. What a privilege and what an honor it was to be able to do it. And you know what? We had a vision to complete the race. Are you responding to what God has shown you? Are you responding to the areas that God has been showing you? It says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There's a race marked out for us. There's a race marked out for you. There's a race marked out for me. There's a race marked out for us. As Victory Outreach Manchester, there's a race marked out for us. But we need to throw off everything that's going to hinder us. We need to remove the stuff that so easily entangles us. We need to run the race with boldness. We need to run this race with confidence, knowing that God has called us. It doesn't matter about anything else. What matters is God has called you. And if he's called you, he'll equip you. And if he'll equip you, he'll empower you. If he'll empower you, he'll go before you. See, we need to understand that we've got a part to play in this great vision. There's something special is going to happen in Manchester. Something special is going to happen in Salford. Something special is going to happen. And we've got the privilege to be part of it. We've got the privilege to be here in the right frame of mind, in the right vehicle, running the right race at the right time, in the right place. We have a privilege, but you cannot let nothing hinder you. You need to remove that stuff. You need to throw that stuff off. You need to stop doing that stuff. You need to stop getting involved in that stuff. Stop watching that stuff. Stop playing those games. Stop being a part of things that are not God, because that's going to hinder you. That's going to stop you. And that's going to prevent you getting to where God wants you to go. But I encourage us this morning. But this is a church that runs with perseverance. This is a church that runs. This is a church that's crazy for Jesus. This is a church that is radical. Is there anybody who is radical in the house today? Oh, thank God there's 5 radical people. Let me hear 20 radical people, 50 radical people, 100 radical people who are sold out for Jesus. Because when you're sold out for Jesus, nothing else matters, because he reigns. And if he reigns, then we are winners. Amen. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, we know the scripture, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. See, the assurance knowing that God has a plan for our life. You don't need to work it out. Understanding will always come later. You just need to keep walking and keep believing and keep sacrificing and keep praising and keep worshiping and keep fasting and keep reading and keep believing and just keep walking. As long as you keep doing that, then the rest will work out as you go along. Understanding will always come later. I do the finances, understanding always came later. I never thought for 1,000,000 years I would be doing church finances. Understanding always comes later. Now I'm rolled up at college. I'm doing my level one maths. I'm doing my level one English. I'm going to become an accountant. Why? Because understanding always comes later. You need to trust God, and you need to trust the men and women of God that He places over you, that when they speak into your life, they're speaking through the throne room of heaven. And you need to trust them, and you need to respond to what God is showing you for your life. Jeremiah 1 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophets to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, has spoken. See, whatever God calls you to do, don't look at what you've not got. Or don't look at what you can't do. But look to the one who says you can do. Never look to what you ain't got. Never look to, oh, I never had no education. Oh, I was a drug addict. Oh, I was depressed. I was this. I was that. I can't do that. God is saying, nah, 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 nah. If you trust me, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. I'll equip you because I've appointed you. And if I've appointed you, you're a representative of me. And I've called you and I've got a plan for you. But you need to trust me, the Lord says. See, you might not see it or you might not even feel it. But when God says, for I know the plans I have for you. For I know the plans I have for you. He knows the plans He has for you. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows what you're facing right now. He knows the battles that are in front of you right now. But the same Spirit that rose Christ from the grave, it dwells within inside you. You have the power to overcome. You have the power to be victorious. You have the power to stand. And once you've done everything to stand, the Bible says, you stand. Stand for the vision that God has given you. He knows why we worry sometimes. We dwell on the past mistakes. Why do we try and force doors open? Make it happen ourselves. We run ahead of God sometimes. We try and work it out ourselves. But God says, for I know the plans I have for you. He knows the plans that He has for you. Trust Him. There's many people in here that God has spoken to you and He's given you plans for your life. But you struggle with them. You struggle with them. You struggle with them because you're dwelling on the past mistakes. You're dwelling on the mistakes you've made before. You're dwelling on what happened last week or what happened last year or what happened the last time you trusted or what happened the last time that you stepped out. But we know that the Bible says in Isaiah 43, 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is doing a new thing. And He's using you, and He's using me, and He's using Victory Outreach. My God is doing a new thing. Every time someone comes and speaks, they say, something's going to happen here in Victory Outreach, Manchester. We're going to be in a service one day, and the anointing of God's going to fall so heavy, that there's going to be people coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and they're going to be coming because revival is going to start within here. Revival is going to start within me and you. God is doing a work in our lives because He's ready to take the lid off. And when He takes the lid off, He is going to pour His Spirit in. And when He pours His Spirit in, you're going to see healings. You're going to see deliverance. You're going to see people restored. You're going to see amazing miracles. Why? Because it's God's plan. And it's God's will. And He says His will be done. And God is going to use us. And we need to get ready. We need to get equipped. We need to remember the vision that God has given us. And given us individually and given us corporately. We need to remember the vision. It's God's vision. God's vision to see the treasures out of darkness and riches stored in secret places. It's God's vision to see drug addicts changed. It's God's vision to see families restored. It's God's vision for you to be healed. It's God's vision for you to get a job. It's God's vision. It's God's vision. But you need to respond. You've got your part to play. And I believe there's a couple of things that I want to look at. We must conquer our fears and step out in faith upon the revelation received. See, we need to conquer the fears and step out in the faith upon the revelation received. See, God has given us a vision. And there's many people in here, if not, God has given you a vision. He showed you what he wants you to do. God showed me when I was in the men's home some of the stuff that I was going to do. And believe me, 99% of it came to pass because it was a God's vision. And all I had to do was keep responding, keep saying yes, keep saying yes, keep being faithful, keep saying yes, keep saying yes. But the problem is sometimes when God gives you the vision, you want it now. And you ain't ready for it now. Because if you were to get it now, you wouldn't handle it. So God is preparing you right now for it. But in the preparation, you go through some stuff. In the preparation, you go through some battles. How many people are going through some battles right now? How many people are facing some challenges right now? How many people are, it's like up and down. They're going through some stuff right now. God is preparing you for something great. God is preparing you for something that if he was to give you it now, you would not handle it. And he's a good father, and he loves you so much that he wants to make sure you can carry it. He wants to make sure you're ready for it. And if it means you need to go through some dry seasons, if it means you need to go through some hard seasons, if it means you need to go through some tough seasons, as long as you never deny that he is God, and you keep shouting, and you keep praying, and you keep believing, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how tough it gets, you never look to the left or look to the right. You look to him in the storm. You look to him in the trial, because our God reigns. He reigns. See, there's a story in the Bible in Matthew 14 that says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And verse 28 says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come, he said. Then Peter got out the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? See, many times revelation will come to us in the midst of a storm. Regardless of the storm, the word of the Lord still came to Peter. He says, come. He told him, come. How many times have we said, Lord, is that you? Lord, is that your voice? Lord, is that you challenging me? Lord, is that you asking me to step out? Lord, is that you speaking to me? And all the time he says, come. Come, step out the boat. Step out the situation. Step out and trust me. I'm there for you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says in Mark 1:17, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. He said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's when he says, come, we need to respond. When he says, come, we need to respond. When he says, go, we need to respond. When he's calling you, you need to respond. It's how you respond determines where you end up. The way that you respond determines where you're going to be down the line. You can always tell someone who's responded to God because they're living the blessed life. See, God is looking for us to respond. Even though Peter began to sink as he took his eyes off Jesus, the Lord was there to catch him. See, sometimes we can take our eyes off Jesus in the midst of the vision. We can take our eyes off the promise. We can take our eyes off the finish line. We can take our eyes off the destination. We can take our eyes off the things that God has called us to do. Look at men in the Bible. Moses was in fear. Gideon was in fear. Jonah was in fear. In this portion of scripture, Peter was in fear. But let me tell you, the word of God says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of timidity, of power, love, and self-discipline. See, the devil is a liar. Can somebody say amen? The devil wants you bound in fear, but God wants you to stand up in faith and trust him and step out and believe in him. See, when God equips, he empowers us and he gives us the grace to do it. See, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the call. See, we ain't got the goods alone. You ain't got the goods alone. That's why you're here. You ain't got the goods. If we had the goods, we'd be able to do it on our own. But the reason is we ain't got the goods and we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. I need Jesus every morning. I need to speak to my Creator in the morning. I need to have that relationship. We ain't going to be able to do it alone. God has called us. And if he's called us, he's with us. God's plans are the best. God has not called you to fail. God has not called you to mess up. But God has called you to succeed. And God has called you to prosper. And God has called you to be everything that he has called you to be. God does not make mistakes. You are here for a reason. You are here because it's God's plan for your life. You are here because you know what? God has got an assignment for you. You are a piece of the jigsaw that when God places it on the right piece of paper with the rest of the right jigsaw, then it's going to make the master picture. See, you got to understand that you have a part to play to fulfill the vision in your life. But it takes stepping out and trusting God in every area. That we need to believe he is who he says he is. We can't shrink back. We can't run away. We can't give up. There's people's lives at stake. There's souls at stake. There's cities at stake. If we give up, who's going to reach the community? If we give up, who's going to reach the prostitute? If we give up, who's going to reach the single mother? And who's going to minister to the broken families? If we give up, God ain't called us to give up. He's called us to look up, to look to him, because that's where our help comes from. You need to understand that you're in a battle. You're in a battle, but it's a battle that you already know the result. It's a battle you already know that you've got the victory. It's a battle that you don't need to fight alone. It's a battle that you cannot fight alone. It's a battle that you need Jesus Christ in your corner. You need him working in you, working through you, working with you. See, we must put every effort into fulfilling God's vision for our life. We need to put in every effort to what God has called us, whatever he's called you to do. You need to put in every effort. I remember when I went to the maths class and I was sitting there. And I started shaking my head, man, and I was like, nah, it's like being at school with remedials. That's what it was like. It's all people who know the sharpest tool in the box. And I remember sitting there and I'm saying, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And God said, I've called you to be here. I've called you to be here. I've called you to be here. See, sometimes we can look around and say, why? Why, God, are you challenging me in this area? God, why are you asking me to give up this? God, why are you asking me to do this? God, why are you showing me this, God? Because God has you here. Because God has you here and he's going to use you here. He's going to use you. There's many people in here, you've got gifts and talents and you're sitting on them. And all you're doing is keeping them warm. But there's going to come a time that God's going to challenge you. You're in a ministry that you get challenged. And God's going to challenge you. And the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Then all of a sudden, the gifts are going to be activated. Some of you are going to be up in the worship team. Some of you are going to be playing instruments. Some of you are going to be in ministry. Some of you are going to be preaching. Some of you are going to get licensed ministers. Some of you are going to be directors and pastors' wives. Some of you are going to go in the mission field with those gifts that God has given you. See, he's given you gifts for his honor and for his glory. See, it's going to take commitment, and it's going to take the spirit of fight, and it's going to take a hunger for God if we're going to get to where God has called us to be. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Be even more diligent. Diligent. Be diligent. We need to put the work in. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take commitment. Where we've had lack of commitment, we're going to need to step that up. And it's going to take more commitment. It's going to take that hunger for God that we first had when we got saved. Remember when we first got saved? Remember your first couple of weeks as a Christian? It was amazing. You were so hungry for God. God was brought everything. But sometimes we can go along and that hunger gets less and less and less and less. But God is looking for a man and woman who have that hunger. And he wants to give us a fresh hunger today. He wants to give us a fresh passion today. A fresh drive today. He wants to give us that spirit of fight. That you know what? That we never give up and we never quit and we never walk away from what he has called us to do. And it's going to take that, you know what? Stepping out and believing God. We need to trust him, church. It says in Proverbs 10, verse 4, it says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Diligent hands bring wealth. Lazy hands make for poverty. It's not a time to sit down. It's not a time to sit down. I remember listening to that James Aladdin at Prayer Storm yesterday. And what he was talking about, prayer. And he says, you know what? He said, I've already had my quiet time before I came here. He said, I've already had my time with the Lord before I came here. He says, I've came here to fight. I've came here to battle. I've came here to take ground. I've came here to make a difference. See, what we came here today for, we came here today because we want God to fill us and we want God to do something in our life because we want to be used by God. See, God is looking for men and women that will stand up and say yes. Stand up and say, yes, Lord, here I am. See, we need to press in. We need to make sure we're in the right position. We're in the last days. Jesus is coming back. Wow. Say, Jesus is coming back. Sound excited. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. But are you ready for him? Are you ready for him? Are you ready? See, we need to make sure we're in the right position. Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky never got where they are. The church never got where it is without hard work. It wasn't like this in the early days. It ain't hard work. It ain't sacrifice. It ain't running with the vision that God had given them. It ain't trusting in God. See, they came to Manchester with a year in mind, I think it was, Pastor says, it was a year. But look at it now, 10 years later, regional pastors in a Holy Ghost thriving church. See, God's vision for our lives is big. God's vision for our life is always bigger than our vision for us. See, you can have a vision for your life, but that's nothing compared to the vision God has for your life. That's nothing compared to what God has in store for those who love him. No eye has seen. See, God has something in store for us. God's vision is always bigger. You maybe thought you just came here because the worship was good. You thought you maybe have just came here because you staggered by one day. Or somebody gave you a flyer. But you came be here because God wants to anoint you and God wants to call you and God wants to do something in your life that's going to make a difference in this city. See, Saul's vision was to go and persecute Christians. God's vision was to turn Saul into Paul. See, Saul's vision was to go and persecute Christians. That was his vision. That's where he was going. But God said, nah, 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 nah. Let me come and just interrupt your vision and give you my vision. And that's what God wants to do. Some years you might be have your own vision. But God is saying, no. It's time for my vision for your life. But you need to respond. You need to respond. You need to respond to what God. See, God's vision was for Saul to become the Apostle Paul and build churches and make disciples. That's God's plan for our life. God's plan for our life. That's God's plan. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the Bible says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everything you're doing is not in vain. The stuff that you're going through is not in vain. The fights that you are fighting are not in vain. The battles that you are facing are not in vain. What does the Bible say? Let us not get tired or weary, for in due season, some of you are ready for a due season. There are some people that you've been waiting a long time for your due season. But I believe the Spirit of the living God is saying it's time for your due season. You've been working. You've been sowing. You've been giving. You've been responding. Today is check-in time. Today is time that God is going to do that thing that He's been promising you. Oh, somebody needs to get excited in here today. See, when you give yourself fully, when you do your best, when you trust, when you put your hand to the plow, God promises that He will go before you. You cannot get tired. You cannot become weary doing good. For in due season, I keep feeling the word due season. We are going into a due season time. Some of you have been waiting for a long time. Today is due season time. Today is the day that God gives you the next piece of the jigsaw. Today is the next day that He gives you the next dot, because you've been on this dot for too long, and it's time to go to the next dot, and then you're going to go to the next dot, and that dot will lead to your destiny. See, some of you have got a great destiny, but you need to trust God. You need to trust God. The Spirit that's inside you needs to stir you up sometimes. We need to be stirred up sometimes. We forget sometimes. But when He starts stirring you up, when He starts doing something inside you, when He starts getting you excited, then you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. But you need to get excited. We cannot be sore-faced. We cannot be down-looking all the time. We need to be up. Why? Because we've got the joy of the Lord that strengthens you. It doesn't matter what you're facing, for the vision that He has given you, you do it with a joy, with a joy, with a joy. It doesn't matter how tired I am, I've got the joy. It doesn't matter the size of the giant, I got the joy. It doesn't matter the battle or the struggle, I've got the joy, joy down in my soul. Is there anybody got the joy in this place? You are in the right place. You've got the joy that your due season's coming. You've got the joy. It's your time. It's your time. God has called you for such a time like this. It's your time. It's time to get up and shake the dust off. God is going to do something. Knowing that God is for you, nothing can be against you. If God has told you to sing, sing. If God has told you to go in the prayer team, sign up to the prayer team. If God has told you to go in the children's chapel, sign up. We didn't ever want to hear that one, did we? God has called you to the children's chapel. What's the first thing you do? You usually ask the person, is that you? Sign up. Sign up. That's the future. I heard Pastor Paul saying, That sometimes can be even more important than the preaching here on a Sunday. Being in with the kids. Because that's the next generation. That's the next generation. That's the next generation. That's the next one that God's are going to raise up. Some of our children are going to go and take cities. Some of our children are going to be part of the greatest revival ever seen in this. Some of our children are going to be part of it. Our children are going to walk into school and they're going to lay hands on other kids. And other kids are going to get healed. And their families are going to get healed. Why? Because something great is about to happen. Are we ready? The lid's ready to come off. God is bringing key kingdom people. Are you expecting? Are you hungry? Are you excited? In the portion of scripture that Pastor said earlier, John 10 verse 10, says the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Be courageous. Be courageous. Be courageous. God wants you to say yes to him and no to the flesh. As I ask the keyboard to come up, God wants us to say yes to him and no to the flesh. And the devil doesn't want you to say yes. He doesn't want you to say yes. He doesn't want you to get your due season. He doesn't want you to get your due season. Because if you get your due season, you're going to be dangerous. If you get your due season, you're going to be dangerous. And the devil doesn't want you dangerous. He wants you down. He doesn't want you dangerous. He wants you depressed. He doesn't want you dangerous. He wants you suicidal. He doesn't want you dangerous. He wants you living in fear. He doesn't want you dangerous. Because imagine 200 dangerous radical Christians in Salford. And that's just here. Think of the damage that we could do for the kingdom if we became dangerous. That if we stopped looking at ourselves and looked to him. That we respond to the vision that he has given us for our lives. That we respond to the things that he's shown us. Sometimes we can fight and we can battle. Am I in the right church? Stop fighting and battle. You're in the right church. God doesn't make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. He's brought you here because something great is going to happen. There's a portion of scripture I just want to read just before we stand. And it's in Exodus chapter 3. And it's about Moses. It says, "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hellenites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "I suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" See, Moses was going to Israel with the call of God resting upon his life and a prophetic word in his mouth. See, you cannot stand before Pharaoh wondering if you're called or not. You need to know that you are called. You need to know that God has brought you here and he has called you. You need to know that God has called you here and he's anointed you for being here. And God has a plan and a vision for your life. And you're part of something amazing, that something is going to explode. Something is going to erupt. Something is going to explode and you're part of it. But you need to know that you are called. You need to know that you are called by God. And you need to settle the question in your heart right now. The same question that Moses did in Exodus 3:11, when he says, but Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I?" Who am I? You need to know who you are. And you need to know whose you are. You need to know that you're a child of God. That you're a royal priesthood called by God. You need to know that God has called you. And if God has called you, then everything He'll equip you for to do with the things that He has called you to do. And as we stand to our feet this morning, and as the worship team come up, I want us to close our eyes. I want us to close our eyes. And I want us to start thinking. And I want us to start praying and asking God, what is your vision for my life? What is your vision for my life? What is your vision? God has brought you here for a reason. God has brought you here because He's going to do something amazing. But you need to know your part in it. You need to know what piece of the jigsaw you are in it. You need to know where you need to be positioned. Because if you're positioned in the right place, then you can be effective. We need to be effective. But that effectiveness comes from being in the right position that He positioned us in. You're not going to be effective over there if God has called you over here. You need to be sensitive and you need to respond to where God is positioning you. Because everyone's got a part to play, young and old. Everyone has got a part to play in the vision that God has for this ministry and for your life. Everybody has a part to play. But it's everybody's job to respond and to find out the part that they have to play. And that's something you get through speaking to your Father, speaking and praying. And asking God, where do I fit? What do you want me to do? What gifts have you given me? What talents have you given me? Then you need to make a decision in your heart. And you need to ask yourself, am I going to respond to what God has shown me? Because God will show you. God will reveal to you. Because He's a good God and He wants the best for you and He wants the best for me and He wants the best for us. So when you pray, I want you to be honest in here, and I want you to pray right now where you're at, and I want you to ask God, am I in the right place? I want you to ask God, start speaking to your Father and ask Him to show you, where do you fit in this great picture? Be bold, God, where do I fit in this picture? I want to be effective for you, God. I want to be used by you, God. And when we're praying, we need to be ready for the response that He gives us. Because some of you are going to get called out of your comfort zone. Some of you are going to get called out of familiar surroundings. God is going to call you out of the place of comfort into the place of challenge. Because it's in the place of challenge that God gets the glory. It's in the place of challenge that our God reigns. It's in the place of challenge where we can become everything that He has called us to be. There is many people in this place that God has been calling you lately. And you've not been responding. You've not been responding. You've not been responding. God wants you to respond. It's going to be all right. He's calling you. He'll protect you. He'll make sure everything's all right. He's with you. But He's calling you. But you need to respond to what He's calling you to. And where He's calling you, where? See, He may be calling you to a different place. He may be calling you for something amazing, but you need to trust in Him. And as a worship team sing a song, I just want us to worship God, and I believe that He is going to speak to your hearts. That He is going to speak to your hearts.